to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you with the kind assistance of KBIA. Tonight we have a treat for you. We are bringing back two of our most beloved characters from last season, Bertie Wooster and his seemingly omniscient gentleman's gentleman, Jeeves. We hope you enjoy this audio presentation of Jeeves and the Hard-Boiled Egg by P.G. Wodehouse. Bertie has been ruminating lately about other people trying to take Jeeves away from him. The thing, you see, is that Jeeves is so very competent. Bertie relies on him absolutely in every crisis, and Jeeves never lets him down. And what's more, he can always be counted on to extend himself on behalf of any pal of Bertie's who happens to be knee-deep in the bullion. Take the representative case, for instance, of one of Bertie's best friends, Bicky, and his uncle, the Hard-Boiled Egg. Bertie is lying in bed as Jeeves brings him a final drink for the evening.
Mr. Bickerson called to see you this evening, sir, while you were out.
Oh?
Twice, sir. He appears a trifle agitated.
What, excited?
He gave that impression, sir.
Well, I'm sorry if Bicky is in trouble, but as a matter of fact, I'm glad to have something to discuss with you. It seems to have been a bit strained between us ever since I decided to grow out my mustache. Look here, Jeeves. While there's no doubt that in certain matters your judgment is absolutely sound and should be followed, it seems to me that it is getting a bit too thick if you are going to edit my face as well as my wardrobe. Many's the time I've given in like a lamb when you have voted against one of my pet suits or ties, but you cannot stake out a claim on my upper lip.
As you say, sir. Mr. Bickerson said that he would call again later, sir.
Something must be up, Jeeves.
Yes, sir. I see by the papers, sir, that Mr. Bickerson's uncle is arriving on the Carmantic.
Yes?
His Grace, the Duke of Chiswick, sir.
That's news to me, that Bicky's uncle is a duke. It's odd how little one knows about one's pals. I first met Bicky at a Beano Jamboree down in Washington Square. He endeared himself to me by most extraordinarily gifted imitation of a bull terrier chasing a cat up a tree. Since then, we've become good friends, but all I really know about him is that he is generally hard up and has an uncle who relieves the strain a bit from time to time by sending him monthly allowances. If the Duke of Chiswick is his uncle, why hasn't he got a title? Why isn't he Lord Whatnot?
Mr. Bickerson is the son of His Grace's late sister, sir, who married Captain Rollo Bickerson of the Coldstream Guards.
You seem to know everything, Jeeves. Is Mr. Bickerson's father dead, too?
Yes, sir.
Leave any money?
No, sir.
Perhaps that explains why poor old Bicky is always more or less on the rocks. I knew he received periodic remittances from an uncle, but if his uncle is a duke, why does he have perpetual money problems?
It seems, sir, that while Duke Chiswick is a very wealthy man, he is apparently an extremely frugal person. The common man on the street might call him a hard-boiled egg.
Well, if Bicky's people didn't leave him anything, and he depends on what he can pry out of the old duke, no wonder he's in a pretty bad way. But that doesn't explain why he's hunting me like this. He never borrows money. He said he wanted to keep his pals, so he's never bit anyone in the ear for a loan.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bickerson. Mr. Wooster has just returned.
Hello, Bicky. Jeeves told me you'd been trying to get me. Jeeves, bring another glass and let the revels commence. Why do you look so troubled, Bicky?
I'm in a hole, Bertie. I want your advice.
Certainly, Bicky. I will help however I can.
My uncle's turning up tomorrow, Bertie. The Duke of Chiswick, you know.
So Jeeves told me.
My, Jeeves seems to know everything.
That's exactly what I said just a few moments ago.
Well, I wish that he knew a way to get me out of the hole I'm in.
Your beverage, Mr. Bickerson.
Say, Jeeves, Mr. Bickerson is in a bit of a hole and wants to solicit your advice.
Very good, sir.
Well, of course, you know, Bertie, this thing is a bit private and all that.
Oh, don't worry, old man. I bet Jeeves knows all about it already. Don't you, Jeeves?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
I am open to correction, sir, but is not your dilemma due to the fact that you are at a loss to explain to His Grace why you were in New York instead of in Colorado.
How do you know anything about it?
I correspond with His Grace's butler from time to time. He informed me that he happened to overhear His Grace speaking to you on the matter, sir, as he passed the library door.
Well, since everybody seems to know all about it, there's no need to try to keep it in the dark. My uncle thinks I'm a brainless nincompoop. He said he would give me an allowance only if I traveled to some blighted locality known as Colorado and learned farming or ranching or whatever they called it, at some smelly ranch or farm or whatever it's called. I didn't like the idea a bit. I would have had to ride horses, pursue cows, and so forth. I was against the entire idea. At the same time, you know, I had to have that allowance.
I get you absolutely, my friend.
Well, when I got to New York, it looked like a decent sort of place, so I took a notion to stop here. I cabled my uncle, telling him that I had dropped into a good business enterprise in the city and wanted to chuck the ranch idea. He wrote back that it was all right, and here I have been ever since. He thinks I'm doing well at something or other, and I never dreamed that he would ever come to visit. What on earth am I to do?
Jeeves, what on earth is Mr. Bickerson to do?
You see, I just received a message from him to say that he was coming to stay with me, to save hotel bills, I suppose. I've always given him the impression that I was living in pretty good style. I can't have him staying at my boarding house.
Thought of anything, Jeeves?
To what extent, sir, if the question is not a delicate one, are you prepared to assist Mr. Bickerson?
I'll do anything I can for Bicky, of course.
Then if I might make the suggestion, sir, you might lend Mr. Bickerson...
No! I have never borrowed a cent from you, Bertie, and I'm not going to start now.
I was about to suggest, sir, that you might lend Mr. Bickerson your apartment. Mr. Bickerson could give His Grace the impression that he was the owner of it. With your permission, I could convey the notion that I was in Mr. Bickerson's employment and not yours. You would be residing here temporarily as Mr. Bickerson's guest. His Grace would occupy the second spare bedroom. I assume you find this answer satisfactory, sir. I would advocate the dispatching of a message to His Grace on board the vessel, notifying of the change of address. Will that alleviate the situation, sir?
Absolutely. That is amazing.
Thank you, sir. Now, if you excuse me.
Yes, of course, Jeeves.
How does he do it, Bertie? I'll tell you what I think it is. I believe it's something to do with the shape of his head. Have you ever noticed his head, Bertie, old man? It sort of sticks out at the back.
The next morning, Bertie hopped out of bed so he would be wide awake when the Duke arrived. It wasn't much after 9 by the time he'd dressed and had his morning tea and was leaning out of the window, watching the street for Bicky and his uncle just brooding on life in general, when he became aware of a loud argument in progress down below. A taxi had driven up, and an old boy in a top hat had got out and was yelling at the cabbie about the fare.
The Duke has arrived, Jeeves.
Yes, sir.
That will be him at the door now.
Very good, sir.
How do you do, Your Grace? Your nephew went down to the dock to meet you, but you must have missed him. My name's Wooster, a great pal of Bicky's. I'm staying with him, you know. Would you like a cup of tea? Jeeves, bring a cup of tea. Please, have a seat, Your Grace.
Does this luxurious flat belong to my nephew, Francis?
Absolutely.
It must be terribly expensive.
Pretty well, of course. Everything costs a lot here, you know.
Your tea, sir.
This is a terrible country, Mr. Wooster. A terrible country. Nearly a quarter for a short cab drive. Iniquitous! Have you any idea how much my nephew pays for his flat, Mr. Wooster?
About $200 a month, I believe.
What? Why, that's almost £40 a month.
I suppose it seems implausible to you, but the fact is, New York often inspires people and makes them show a determination that you wouldn't have imagined them capable of. It sort of develops them. I imagine that Bicky, in the past, when you knew him, may have been something of a chump, but it's quite different now. Very efficient sort of fellow, and looked on in the commercial circles as quite the successful entrepreneur. Plus, he absolutely unrivaled as an imitator of bull terriers and cats.
I am amazed. What is the nature of my nephew's business, Mr. Wooster?
Oh, just business. The same sort of thing Carnegie and Rockefeller and all those magnates do, you know. Awfully sorry to leave you, but I have an appointment elsewhere.
And with that, Bertie went off to his club. It was late in the evening when Bertie arrived back at the apartment to dress for dinner.
Where is everybody, Jeeves? Gone out? I expected to see the Duke and Bicky chattering away in the living room.
His Grace desired to see some of the sights of the city, sir. Mr. Bickerson is acting as his escort. I fancy their immediate objective was Grant's tomb.
I suppose Mr. Bickerson is feeling better about the way things are going?
Sir?
I take it that Mr. Bickerson is happy with the arrangements and his uncle is pleased?
Not altogether, sir.
What is the trouble now?
The scheme which I took the liberty of suggesting to Mr. Bickerson and yourself has, unfortunately, not been entirely satisfactory, sir.
Surely the Duke believes that Mr. Bickerson is doing well in business and all that sort of thing?
Exactly, sir. With the result that he has decided to cancel Mr. Bickerson's monthly allowance on the ground that he no longer requires pecuniary assistance.
Great Scott, Jeeves, this is awful.
Somewhat disturbing, sir.
I never expected anything like this.
I confess I scarcely anticipated the contingency myself, sir.
I suppose this came as quite a shock to Bicky.
Mr. Bickerson appeared somewhat taken aback, sir.
My heart bleeds for Bicky. We must do something, Jeeves.
Yes, sir.
Can you think of anything?
Not at the moment, sir.
There must be something we can do.
It was a maxim of my former employer's, sir. As I believe I mentioned to you once before, the present Lord Snoddam, that there is always a way. I have generally found his lordship's aphorism based on sound foundations. No doubt we shall discover some solution to Mr. Bickerson's difficulty, sir.
Well, make a stab at it, Jeeves.
I will spare no pains, sir.
Bertie went and dressed sadly. He sallied out for dinner, and when he returned, old Chiswick had gone to bed, but Bicky was there, hunched up in an armchair, brooding tensely, with a glassy stare in his eyes. He looked like someone who had been assaulted with what the newspapers call, quote, a blunt instrument, unquote.
Well, this is a bit thick, isn't it, Bicky?
I'm done, Bertie. If only this had happened a week later, Bertie. My next month's money was due to roll in on Saturday. I could have implemented an idea I've been reading about. It seems that you can make a great deal of money if you can collect a few dollars and start a chicken farm. Say, you buy a hen, call it One Hen for the sake of argument. It lays an egg every day of the week. You sell the egg 7 for 25 cents. Keeping the hen costs nothing. You make pure profit from practically every egg you sell. But, of course, it's no good, because I don't have the cash.
All you have to do is say the word, Bicky, and you know I'll cover you.
I'm truly grateful, Bertie, but I'm not going to sponge off you.
That's always the way of the world, Bicky. The good people you'd like to lend money to won't let you, whereas the ones you don't want to lend it to will do everything except actually stand you on your head to shake the change out of your pockets. I've spent my life scattering largesse to beggars I didn't care a bit for, yet here I am now with plenty of money, longing to hand some over to you, and you adamantly will not take it at any price. Well, then, there's only one hope.
What's that?
Jeeves.
Sir?
Good heavens!
Damn it, Jeeves, I wish you wouldn't sneak up on me like that. You move about like a jellyfish.
Did you call, sir?
Jeeves, Mr. Bickerson is having some difficulties. Any ideas?
Why, yes, sir. Since we had our recent conversation, I fancy I have found what may prove a solution. I do not wish to appear to be taking a liberty, sir, but I think that we have overlooked His Grace's potentialities as a source of revenue. I do not allude, sir, to the possibility of inducing His Grace to part with money. Duke Chiswick is, in a sense, a prominent personage. The inhabitants of this country, as we no doubt are aware, sir, are peculiarly addicted to shaking hands with prominent personages. It occurred to me that Mr. Bickerson, or yourself, might know of persons who would be willing to pay a small fee, let us say $2 or $3, for the privilege of an introduction, including handshake, to His Grace.
I don't know. Do you think anyone would be frivolous enough to part with hard cash just to shake hands with my uncle?
I have an aunt, sir, who paid $1 to a young fellow for bringing a moving picture actor to tea at her house one Sunday. It gave her social standing among the neighbors.
If you think it could be done, I would be most...
I feel convinced of it, sir.
What do you think, Bertie?
I'm for it, absolutely. A very good plan.
Thank you, sir. Will there be anything further? Ah, then, good night, sir.
Their plan got off to a slow start. It was more difficult than they imagined to sell handshakes with the Duke. By the end of the week, the only name they had on their list was a delicatessen storekeeper, and he wanted them to take it out in sliced ham instead of cash, so that didn't help much. There was a gleam of hope when a pawnbroker offered $10, money down, for an introduction to old Chiswick, but the deal fell through when it turned out that the man was an anarchist and intended to shoot the old boy instead of shaking hands with him. Even then, it was difficult to persuade Bicky not to grab the cash and let things take their course. He seemed to regard the pawnbroker as a sportsman and a benefactor. The entire plan would have collapsed had it not been for Jeeves. One morning he shimmered into Bertie's bedroom with a cup of tea and an idea.
Might I speak to you with regard to that matter of His Grace, sir?
It's all off. We've decided to chuck it.
Sir?
It won't work. We can't get anybody to bite.
I fancy I can arrange that aspect of the matter, sir.
Do you mean that someone is interested?
Yes, sir. 87 gentlemen from Birdsburg, sir.
Birdsburg?
Birdsburg, Missouri, sir.
How did you get in touch with them?
Last night, sir, when you allowed me to accompany you to the theatrical performance, I entered into a conversation with the occupant of the adjoining seat. I had observed that he was wearing a somewhat ornate decoration in his buttonhole, sir, a large blue button with the words "Boost" for Birdsburg upon it, in red letters. Scarcely a judicious addition to a gentleman's evening costume. To my surprise, I noticed that the auditorium was full of persons similarly festooned. I was informed that these gentlemen, forming a party of 87, are a convention from a town of the name of Birdsburg in the state of Missouri. He told me with a considerable amount of satisfaction that their deputation had been introduced to and had shaken hands with a well-known prize fighter. To make a long story short, sir, I have arranged, subject to your approval, that the entire convention shall be presented to His Grace tomorrow afternoon.
87, Jeeves? At how much a head?
I was obliged to agree to a reduction for quantity, sir. The terms finally arrived at were $150 for the party.
Payable in advance?
No, sir. I endeavored to obtain payment in advance, but was not successful.
Well, anyway, when we get it, I'll take it up to $500. Bicky will never know. Do you think Mr. Bickerson would suspect anything, Jeeves, if I bumped it up to $500?
I fancy not, sir. Mr. Bickerson is an agreeable gentleman, but not the sharpest knife in the cutlery box.
All right, then. After breakfast, run down to the bank and get some money.
Yes, sir.
You know, you're a bit of a marvel, Jeeves.
Thank you, sir.
As they would say out west, forward ho.
Very good, sir.
The next morning, when Bertie pulled Bicky aside and told him what had happened, he nearly broke down. He tottered into the sitting room and buttonholed old Chiswick, who was reading the comic section of the morning paper with a kind of grim resolution.
Uncle, are you doing anything special tomorrow afternoon? I mean to say, I've asked a few of my pals in to meet you, don't you know?
There will be no reporters among them.
Reporters? Of course not. Why do you ask?
I refuse to be badgered by reporters. There were a number of adhesive young men who endeavored to elicit from me my views on America while the boat was approaching the dock. I will not be subjected to such persecution again.
That'll be absolutely all right, Uncle. There won't be a newspaper man in the place.
In that case, I shall be glad to make the acquaintance of your friends.
You'll shake hands with them and so forth?
I shall naturally order my behavior according to the accepted rules of civilized intercourse.
Oh, thank you, Uncle. They will be so pleased to meet you.
Soon afterward, Bertie took Bicky off to lunch at the club, where he babbled freely of hens, incubators, and other silly things. After mature consideration, they decided to unleash the Birdsburg contingent on the old boy 10 at a time. It was determined that since an hour was about all Chiswick would be able to stand, each gang should consider itself entitled to 7 minutes of the Duke's society by Jeeves' stopwatch, and that when their time was up, Jeeves would slide into the room and cough menacingly. The next day, the deputation rolled in. The first shift shook hands with the old boy with a good deal of pride, all except one fellow who stood in a corner, brooding.
What message do you have for Birdsburg, Duke?
I have never been to Birdsburg.
Well, you should pay it a visit. The most rapidly growing city in the country. Boost for Birdsburg!
Boost for Birdsburg!
Say, as a matter of business, mind you, I'm not questioning anybody's good faith, but as a matter of strict business, I think this gentleman here ought to put himself on record before witnesses as stating that he really is a duke.
What do you mean, sir?
Oh, no offense, simply business. I'm not saying anything, mind you, that there's just one thing that seems kind of funny to me. This gentleman here says his name's Mr. Bickerson, as I understand it. Well, if you're the Duke of Chiswick, why isn't he Lord Percy something? Now, I've read English novels. I know all about it.
This is monstrous.
Don't get hot under the collar. I'm only asking. I have a right to know. You're going to take our money, so it's only fair that we should get to see our money's worth. You're quite right, Sims. I overlooked that when making the agreement. You see, gentlemen, as businessmen, we're a right to reasonable guarantees of good faith. We are paying Mr. Bickerson here $150 for this reception, and we naturally want to know.
I can assure you that I know nothing of this. I would be grateful if you would explain.
Well, we arranged with Mr. Bickerson that 87 citizens of Birdsburg should have the privilege of meeting and shaking hands with you for a financial consideration mutually arranged. And what my friend Sims here means, and I agree with him, is that we have only Mr. Bickerson's word that you are the Duke of Chiswick, after all.
Allow me to assure you, sir, that I am the Duke of Chiswick.
Well, then it's all right. That was all we wanted to know. Let's go on, then.
I am sorry to say that it cannot go on. I'm feeling a little tired. I fear I must ask to be excused.
But there are 77 of the boys waiting around the corner at this moment, Duke, to be introduced to you.
I fear I must disappoint them.
Well, in that case, I guess the deal would have to be off.
That is a matter for you and my nephew to discuss.
You really won't meet the rest of them?
No.
Well, then, I guess we'll be going.
Well, Francis, what do you have to say for yourself? Was it true what that man said?
Yes, Uncle.
What do you mean by playing this trick?
I think you'd better explain the whole thing, Bicky.
All right. You see, you had cut off my allowance, Uncle, and I wanted a bit of money to start a chicken farm. I mean to say, it's an absolute certainty if you get a bit of capital. You buy a hen, and it lays an egg every day of the week, and you sell the eggs, say, 7 for 25 cents.
Keeping the hen costs nothing. It's practically pure profit.
What is all this nonsense about hens? You led me to suppose you were a substantial businessman.
Well, Bicky rather exaggerated, sir. The fact is, the poor fellow is absolutely dependent on that allowance of yours, and when you cut it off, he realized he had to think of something pretty quick. That's why we thought of this handshaking scheme.
So you have lied to me. You have deliberately deceived me about your financial status.
Poor old Bicky didn't want to go to that ranch. He doesn't like cows and horses, but he rather thinks he would be hot stuff with chickens. All he wants is a bit of capital. Don't you think it would ease the situation if you were to...
After what has happened? After this deceit and tomfoolery? Not a penny.
But what about...
Not a penny!
If I might make a suggestion, sir...
Yes, please. Go ahead, Jeeves.
I would merely suggest, sir, that if Mr. Bickerson is in need of some ready money, and is at a loss to obtain it elsewhere, he might secure the sum he requires by describing the occurrences of this afternoon for the Sunday issue of one of the more spirited and enterprising newspapers.
By heavens, Jeeves is right. I'll do it. The Chronicle would jump at it. They eat that sort of stuff up.
I absolutely forbid you, Francis, to do this thing.
That's all very well, but if I can't get the money any other way...
Wait, my boy. You are so impetuous. I can't have my name besmirched in the tabloids. We might arrange something.
I won't go to that horrible ranch.
No, no, my boy. I would not suggest it. I think that, on the whole, it would be best if you returned with me to England. In fact, I might be able to utilize your services in some secretarial position.
I wouldn't mind that.
I would not be able to offer you a salary, but, as you know, in English political life, the unpaid secretary is a recognized figure.
The only figure I'll recognize is 500 quid a year, paid quarterly.
My dear boy.
Yes, 500 quid.
But your recompense, my dear Francis, would consist in the unrivaled opportunities you would have, as my secretary, to gain experience to accustom yourself in the intricacies of political life. You would be in an exceedingly advantageous position.
Mm, 500 a year. Why, that would be nothing to what I could make if I started a chicken farm. It stands to reason. Suppose you have a dozen hens. Each of the hens has a dozen chickens. You don't expect me to chuck a future like this for anything under 500 quid a year, do you?
Very well, my boy.
Well, all right then. Come, Uncle. Let's go out to dinner and celebrate our new arrangement.
If you insist.
Bye-bye now. Hope to see you both soon. Jeeves, my man, this has been one of your best efforts.
Thank you, sir.
It beats me how you do it.
Yes, sir.
The only trouble is you haven't gotten much out of it, have you?
I fancy Mr. Bickerson intends to signify his appreciation at some later date when he is in a more favorable position to do so.
It isn't enough, Jeeves.
Sir?
There is only one possible thing to be done. Bring my shaving things.
You mean, sir?
And shave off my mustache.
I am deeply moved, sir. Thank you very much indeed.
The strain in Jeeves and Bertie's relationship was erased along with the mustache. And while they may not have lived happily ever after, they did live much more peaceably with Bertie's shiny upper lip. We hope you have enjoyed this presentation of Jeeves and the Hard-Boiled Egg by P.G. Woodhouse, presented by Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Our players were Jeff Martin as Bertie, Byron Scott as Jeeves, Terry Yates as Bicky, Chris Bowling as Chiswick, and Darren Helwich as the men from Birdsburg. This show was adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan, engineered by Darren Helwich, and directed by Byron Scott. This is your narrator, Charlie Wilkerson, hoping you will join us again next week for another classic story brought to you by Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, right here on KBIA.